So for those of you who are inclined, could you wave and let me know that you hear me? Thank you very much. It seems like in
Can't
this
hear you,
retreat, I
Gil.
need a reassurance. It feels very reassuring to know that I'm being heard by people sitting quietly with their eyes closed. So thank you for being here and being part of this. One of the fundamental ways of thinking or understanding that the Buddha uses is to understand things conditionally, or to understand that things arise dependently on other things. And I'd like to simplify this teaching today in relationship to thinking, mindfulness of thinking, and that. One of the things we do when we practice mindfulness is to see that things are composites. That many of the things that we might think are unified, solid things are in fact made up of component parts. And so thinking is one of those things. If we think that thinking is solid and if we're focused on the content, the ideas, it can just seem like thinking is its own entity, its own power, its own weight, its own preoccupation. It's like a thing. But what we can do is to see it as a composite, to look upon it as if it is made up of different parts. And doing so, it begins losing some of its authority over us, some of its solidity, some of its weightiness. So, for example, it depends a little bit how much we're thinking, but if thinking is really distracting in meditation, like you just keep getting swept away in thinking, chances are that you can recognize that there's a physical aspect to that thinking. You can see it in someone's forehead, furrow in their brow. Sometimes you can see it in people's jaws. Sometimes it's in people's hands, tightening up or being nervous, playing with their fingers. Sometimes these are associated with emotions, but they also come along with an expression of certain mental activity that we do. There might be much more subtle, but there's little places of tension, pressure, contraction that we can feel. Sometimes it's felt in the breathing. It's fascinating to be breathing easily, lightly. And then the mind, for some reason, comes up with some kind of powerful thought, idea, and memory or something, and you suddenly feel the breathing tightens up a little bit. Some of that tension can be in the area where the thinking occurs. Sometimes to recognize the location of thinking is helpful. Sometimes it's not possible to see that. Thinking might be happening. If you think in words, where is that loudspeaker? Where do those words appear? If you think in images, where is the screen upon which they appear? And if there is a location, kind of for where thinking is, in the head maybe, or in the brain, or wherever it might be, is there any tension, pressure, contraction associated with it? So these are all pointing to the physicality of thinking that is often lost to us in ordinary life, because if we're really focused on the content of thought. Sometimes it's even a headache is kind of the result of all the tension around thinking. Another component part of thinking, again, especially when thinking is strong, there's an emotional side of it. It comes along with a certain mood or emotional state. Planning can come with, sometimes with anxiety, fear. Memories can come with, sometimes with resentment about something that happened, or can come with delight, with remembering something nice. Sometimes thoughts come with a very strong desire for something. So all these kind of are emotions, kind of, that are fueling the emotion. And so that's part of the ecology of, not of motion of thinking, ecology of thinking, the physicality of it, the emotionality of it. There's also the motivational side that overlaps with the emotional. So the desire, what we want, what we don't want. And so we can recognize, oh, there's a lot of not wanting here on these thoughts. That's what's driving them. A lot of wanting. There's also another component part of thinking, especially if it's strong, is our interest in them. Fascination or negative fascination or kind of interest where there's a lot, we invest a lot of importance in it, the thinking, solving our problems. Like if I only think this out, I'm trying to think it, I'm trying to solve something and really motivated to try to figure something out. A classic idea that's kind of fun is the idea that sometimes we're trying to think a better past. So all these things, the physical side, the emotional side, the motivational side, the interest side, these are all part of the composite that comes together with the content. And sometimes when we do mindfulness of emotion is to not be so interested in the content. So to recognize whether the content is made up, comes to you through words, or through images, or both. And so to begin kind of looking at these different parts, there's images, there's words, there's also energy, how much energy goes into the thinking, the intensity of thinking. Is it strong? Is it heavy? Is it fast? Is it slow, light, easygoing? So I know this is a lot to remember, but it's a way of bringing our attention, mindfulness, to thinking and not being swept into its current. It's like standing at the railroad crossing as a train goes by. You know, just look at all the train cars going by, and the next thing you know, you're on the train, on a car. And but the idea is just don't get on, just watch it go by. And so what is it made up of? What's the physicality of it? What can be relaxed that's tense? Sometimes what's most important about thinking is not the thought or the content, but is the underlying emotion that's happening in the present moment. And we do mindfulness of emotion. Sometimes it's helpful to be honest about how interested we are in it. It can be a little bit invisible. We take it for granted that whatever we're interested in is just part of who we are and part of the landscape, the interest, fascination, importance we put into it. So that's a background for this meditation. And I'll say a little bit more about this in the meditation. And as we do this, you know, mindfulness of thinking, it helps a lot if you put aside any idea that thinking is bad or wrong, any idea for or against thinking, put aside justifying it and put aside condemning it. It's just thinking. Something, one more thing to be aware of. Maybe a little bit like you'd be aware of the sound of a bird whistling outside the window, or the sound of the leaves rustling in a tree. Not being more or less involved, just attending, knowing. So taking a couple of deep breaths, relaxing as you exhale. Taking some deep breaths, and as you exhale, kind of settle into your body like you would settle into a cool, refreshing pool of water, like a nice bath or something. Settle in. Letting your breathing return to normal. And familiarize yourself with your body from the inside out. Almost like you're swimming in your body with your awareness, touching and feeling the different parts to discover what's happening in your body. And if there are ways you can relax further, spend a few moments relaxing the face, the shoulders, the belly. And then just we're here for a couple of minutes. Allow yourself to think, but be mindful of the thinking. Almost like you're looking, thinking right in the eye and gently, kindly looking at it, seeing it. If it fades away, then go back to the breathing until thinking returns. You're allowed to think right now. And as you're thinking, is there anything physical, a physical aspect of thinking? Any parts of your body that seem activated because of how you're thinking? Maybe with tension or energy? Agitation or something soothing. In particular, is there location for thinking around which there's some tension, pressure, hardness? As you exhale, perhaps relaxing the thinking muscle. And by that I mean the tension associated with thinking. As you allow yourself to think, are there any emotions or moods connected to how you're thinking? Maybe the flavor of the thoughts are flavored by an emotion. Or maybe the thoughts feel like they arise out of, the thoughts arise out of some emotion. And if there is emotion connected to thinking, spend a few moments being mindful of emotion, feeling it in your body, making room for it. When you find yourself thinking, how much energy is going into your thinking? Is thinking strong, loud, forceful? Is it gentle, soft, very thin, quiet? Kindly be aware of the energy as if it has permission to be there and for you just to know it and feel it. And if it's easy enough, can you calm your thinking, slow it down? When you allow yourself to think, is there any motivation connected to thinking? Something you want or don't want. Maybe the motivation is interest, fascination. Be mindful of the motivation. And would it be okay to let go of it? To be simpler? So all these things are the landscape of thinking. For another minute or two, as you think, just relaxedly sit back and observe it. Maybe using a mental note, thinking, thinking. And if you use a mental note, try adding the word just in front of it. Just thinking. And now, if you'd like, you can let go of your thoughts or let them recede in the background. And settle yourself into the body breathing. Settle into the body. And if the thoughts are in the background, maybe just leave them there, don't be concerned. But if thinking comes to the foreground, practice this mindfulness of thinking until it feels time to begin again with your breathing. If you find yourself thinking, maybe you can let go of the interest in the thoughts. Let go of the ways in which you get involved with your thinking. Leave the thoughts alone and be mindful. So in introducing mindfulness of thinking this morning, it's partly done with the idea that we're learning in mindfulness to be mindful of everything that's happening in the present moment, but one thing at a time, not all at once. That everything that occurs warrants our mindfulness. When I was introduced to this practice in Asia, I one day I understood the potential of this practice and became really happy. And that was that I could see that in certain circumstances, that when I was mindful of something, there was a kind of freedom in relationship to it. The simplicity of mindfulness, where I learned to be mindful without my clinging, my judgments, my expectations, just simplicity of just seeing something as it actually is. I could see there's freedom there. And as I was learning the practice, I understood, in theory, I could bring that attention to any human experience I have and thereby be free everywhere. So I wasn't there yet, that freedom, that ability. But it made me so happy to know that this was possible. And so mindfulness is not about only being concentrated on the breath or the body or anything in particular. But the one aspect, the way we teach, is mindfulness is learning how to be wisely, caringly, freely present for anything in our human experience as it's happening. And so it isn't about holding on or staying only with the breathing. But if anything else becomes compelling, becomes predominant, you're welcome to let go of the breathing and turn your attention to this other thing, the body, the emotions, or your thinking, and see if you can find the simplicity of mindfulness there. Sometimes it helps to do so without having let go fully of the breathing, but kind of bring the breath along and kind of breathe with what you're paying attention to, like body pain, sometimes breathe with it. Sometimes with thinking, just kind of part of you is still grounded in the breathing and you're breathing with or accompanying, the breath is accompanying your thinking. And that makes it a little bit easier not to get lost in the thoughts or lost in the pain or whatever it might be. So some people can do that, and some people that doesn't make sense. But this idea of you turn and everything that, whatever is compelling, that warrants mindfulness. And this simplicity of mindfulness, that where there's freedom in the mindfulness. I know that's a strange concept for some people. They don't know how that works, but over time you begin experimenting and finding it. Oh, in fact, I brought a lot of attachment with me or a lot of expectation or judgments. And there is a simpler way of being aware. And to help find that, it can be helpful to see that things are composites. They're not singular things, like pain is a composite, bodies are composites, body experiences. Emotions are made up of different elements, and so are thoughts. Not that you have to analyze or dissect it, as it makes you busy, but just knowing kind of the map might help you to kind of see it without getting caught in its web, the web of thinking. Just see it. And I myself love the label just in front of anything. Just thinking. Sometimes that just can sound like it's dismissive, but sometimes it's really freeing. Oh, I see what it is. It's just thinking. I know how to be with thinking. We're thinking all kinds of wonderful, difficult, terrible things, whatever it might be. And to step back and say, oh, it's just thinking. Meaning we don't invest it, so much importance in it, or so much crucial necessity in it. At least while we're meditating. What a radical idea. You're allowed a simplicity of being. One of the advantages of that simplicity of being and just mindful, just there. There's usually more room then for kindness, for goodwill, for care, for compassion. Not as something you're so much doing, but just room for it to arise and accompany yourself or accompany the practice. One of the interesting things to notice is if it ever happens that you feel somewhat settled and calm, you know, settled on your breathing and mind is not so busy in thoughts, kind of quiet, mind is quieted down finally. It's fascinating to then see the difference between what it's like that way versus when you get pulled back into the world of thinking. Chances are sooner or later you will. And so be curious about what shifts for you when you get pulled back into the world of thinking. And there's a few things people sometimes report. Sometimes they report that their world has gotten much smaller, their mental world. They kind of now kind of got contracted around this thought. Because when they were relaxed, they felt more open. Some people say that it feels more, there's more clarity when we're relaxed and settled. And that clarity is lost when we get contracted around thoughts. Some people even have reported that there seems like there's light when we're relaxed and settled. And things in a certain kind of way get dark when we get caught up in thoughts. And so, you know, each of us will have a different experience around this, but to see that contrast helps you to appreciate what's happening and not get caught in it or be mesmerized so easily in it. Oh, there's something lost now in this way of thinking. It's part of seeing the composite, the different elements of it, the effect it has. It makes it a little easier not to be so invested or enamored or horrified by thought. Whatever it might be, just pull back. And part of this also is that you can also then begin appreciating the impact thinking has on you. Certain kinds of thoughts, you can feel their effect on you. Some of them can be relaxing and settling. Some of them can be stomach wrenching, tension producing, or some of them can be deflating. And to see the cause and effect relationship. Oh, look at that. I had that thought. Gil said it's just a thought, but this isn't just a thought. This is like being, you know, slugged in my gut or something, whatever. And but it's fascinating to watch that. And the more you see the ecology of all this, the easier it is to be free of it. So please don't become busy with all the things I've said now today about thinking. It's too much. Hopefully you don't remember most of it. But hopefully you remember just enough that you're a little bit now looking, curious. What is this thinking and what is it to be free of it? And what can I learn and how to be mindful of it so that I'm not pulled into its current so strongly onto its train wagons. wagon cars, trained cars. Finally, I want to encourage some of you, if you're at all inclined, to experiment with what I said now a couple of times about assume a confident posture in activities you do today. So it might be in walking meditation, you know, not dramatically confident. Don't like look puffed up for everyone else, but maybe 10% more confident. You don't have to be 10% more confident. Just take a posture that's 10% more confident. And then do your walking that way. If you're in the kitchen cooking or cleaning or something, do it with a kind of presence, really be there for it, that's 10% has more, 10% more physical confidence, as if you're confident, as if you're an actor who is acting confident, you know, and just see, just simply taking the posture, see what effect it has on you. And so wherever you can through the day, experiment a little bit and see if this supports you to be mindful, to be present, and maybe has a nice influence and kind of motivational factor for the mindfulness, the fact that you're also being mindful of your posture in a way that kind of this curious thing is going on. You're assuming a confident posture, whatever that means for you. So, and in all this, I hope you enjoy the day. I hope you enjoy being mindful of thoughts, if that becomes an issue at all, and explore, you know, what it's like to be confident in spite of yourself, just the posture, and just have, you know, enjoy, and we'll carry on. And I look forward to meeting some of you today. Nikki, both and I are looking forward to meeting you now in a few minutes. So please check the practice discussion to make sure that you know that whether or not you're meeting one of us today. Today is Thursday. And tonight, this evening at 7, there's a practice discussion for the auditors, an optional drop-in practice discussion group. And Ying will be sitting in on practice discussions with me today. Thank you all very much.